Welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. That was hymn number 358. I am thine, O Lord. Let's stand together and sing. Hymn number 358, I am thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. Lord, I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer and nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleased bride. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace. Let my soul look up where the spirit's gone, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross through their bosom. There are arms of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me
everybody. If you are a guest for the first time tonight, welcome to Stanley Heights. It's our second Lord's Day of Missions Month in February. If you tonight are a first-time guest, we have for you a Connection Point booklet. It'll tell you about our church, and it will be a guide for you. So if you'll do this, raise your hand, and when the ushers pass by, they'll hand you this. Inside of the Connection Point booklet, you'll see a card. If you will complete the guest card side and then put that in the offering box when you leave behind you or to your right tonight, we'll send you a thank you note this week. Thank you tonight for being our guest. Well, a number of things I want to just make note of as far as announcements. Boy, I had a great group of folks come yesterday to the Nerf Wars. And what a wonderful outreach and how exciting that was. I know you've been praying. Tonight, after church, we have a basketball outreach. And Brother Kyle's been working with some guys that live in our city to come. And so we should really pray about that outreach tonight as well. So I want you to know about that. And then, of course, what a great day it was this morning. And both of the services, Brother Snyder did such a beautiful job of preaching and wonderful, powerful. And the Lord, I know the Lord is working. So thank you, Brother Snyder. Next week we'll have a man who is on deputation going to Ivory Coast, Joshua Pate. Josh is, if you remember Brian Pate when he was a pastoral resident, it's Brian's younger brother. And so I'm looking forward to having Josh and his family with us next week. And then next week we start collecting those faith promise commitments on the 21st and the 28th. We'll collect those. And I hope you're already praying about what God would have for you to do. And you'll notice with Josh Pate, Pastor Alexander mentioned this morning that they were planning on being with us for the conference. Of course, life happens, right? So, but they're still going to be with us in this time. They had it blocked out for it to be with us. So if you would like to have them to your home for a meal, noon time or evening, or if you want to meet with them somewhere or take them out or whatever you want to do, if you would like to do that, make sure you see Vicki Boffman in our office and she can arrange that for you. All right. Other things you can read about as you read your bulletin. Let's say you've been standing for a while. Remember, this week's core value is balanced. And really, when you think about balance, this means that we want to be balanced with grace and truth. So healthy followers of Jesus Christ, we want to be balanced in all generations and all the world, local, regionally, globally. Let's say the Great Commission passage, go ye therefore, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you, and all and with you always, even to the end of the world. Thank you for bringing me through. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we are having tonight, we're doing some things online, and you'll get to see Brother Dietrich with us and Nora, his wife, with us. I don't know if any of their kids are going to be in the, you never know. The other day we were testing this out, and we had the little man came in and wanted to tell us about his toys. And so you never know what'll happen. So we'll have them. Brother Dietrich's going to preach tonight. So let's pray for God to meet with us in that way. Wish you'd pray. We've never done this before. So wish you'd pray about the technology to work. I know you already have been praying. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you with such anticipation because we've been challenged today about the cause of Christ, and for which cause we faint not, the Apostle Paul said. And help us, Lord, to be diligent, and help us to have our vision increased. And so we pray that your Spirit would tonight meet with us and work in us. And so we commit the rest of this service to you. We've already enjoyed committing by in singing that we are yours, asking you to draw us near to you. And we pray that your Spirit would even do that work through all that is done tonight. We pray about this technology. It would work well so that we can know what is happening in the Solomons and more effectively pray with the Dietrichs, and then, as Brother Dietrich challenges us from the Word, we pray the Spirit to enable him. And so we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated.
We are going to sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. We'll sing both verses of that. Christ. We're only going to sing it through one time, but standing together and sing our mission's theme this month, The Cause of Christ.
For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I want help me, I will
wonderful salvation song to remind us of, well, that is taken from the third chapter of John. And Jesus referred to the serpent in the wilderness and look and live. And what a great reminder for all of us. Thank you so much. Well, tonight we have the Dietrichs with us, and we're trusting they're going to join us by video in just a little bit. They're going to have, there'll be a presentation that is a summary of their years in the Solomon Islands. Of course, a number of you have been to the Solomon Islands on trips that we have, our church has been a part of with many other churches with the Bible distribution there. And so the Dietrichs are there planting a church. And so this video is going to give a review of what's happened over these last number of years. And then after that, our hope is that we're going to have Michael and Nora with us, and we're going to have a time I'm going to interview them. And then later on, Brother Dietrich will preach for us. OK. All right. At this time, then, we're going to have a presentation for the Dietrichs.
Nicknamed the Happy Isles, the Solomon Islands is a beautiful island country located in the South Pacific Ocean. 992 islands spread across 11,000 square miles of ocean just northeast of Australia. Over 650,000 Solomon Islanders populate 350 of these islands. From the beautiful beaches surrounded by oceans of breathtaking coral and marine life to the volcanic mountains, waterfalls, and over 300 different species of birds, the Solomon Islands is a beautiful masterpiece of our creation.
Beyond the majestic scenery, however, is a country of people living in poverty. Due to poor infrastructure and political corruption, the Solomon Islands is the second poorest country in the South Pacific region. 75% of the population live in rural villages and depend on subsistence farming for living. Although English is the official language, it is only spoken by 1-2% of the population, and over 70% of adults are illiterate.
Until the 1900s, the Solomon Islands was immersed in ancestor and spirit worship. Surrounding countries began taking Solomon Islanders for cheap labor on their plantations. One such man, Peter Mboopa, was led to the Lord by Florence Young while working on her brother's sugarcane plantation in Australia. Florence Young had returned home after working with Hudson Taylor in China for several years, and burdened for the plantation laborers, began holding Bible studies. After his salvation, Peter overcame much animosity to bring the gospel back to his home country. He was soon followed by extensive missionary efforts. Today, the main religions are Anglicanism and Catholicism, followed by many others who teach a reliance on works for salvation.
We are the Dietrich family, Michael, Nora, Corbin, and Kezia, and God has called us to serve Him together in the Solomon Islands.
When we stepped off the plane in January of 2018, we became the first full-time independent Baptist missionaries in the Solomon Islands in over 40 years.
Through various circumstances, the Lord directed us to begin working in the capital city of Honiara. Without any veteran missionaries to work alongside, we started from scratch, and our first service of Pacific Light Baptist Church was held in our home with just one Solomon Islander in attendance. He made a profession of faith that day.
Through the ups and downs of church planting, we have seen God do amazing things as He has guided us each step of the way. He provided, and we are currently renting a location right on the main road through town. In the last 2.5 years, we have seen over 20 people make professions of salvation, many of them baptized and continuing in discipleship. It has been such a privilege to witness the Lord growing His church.
As we look toward the future, our dreams are massive. We desire to purchase land in the capital city to build a church, Christian school, and Bible institute. This will allow us to begin training the next generation of Solomon Island pastors, who will then be able to go back to their home provinces and islands to share the truth of Jesus. We also have open doors to begin teaching Bible in public schools all over the Solomon Islands, as well as holding Bible studies in the jails. Other dreams of ours are to see an aviation ministry started, which will greatly facilitate reaching to the hundreds of outer islands along with a radio station. The Solomon Islands is hungry for clear Bible teaching and wide open to the gospel.
The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. We are only one young family, and the work to do in just the Solomon Islands alone is so very great.
Would you please pray with us for more laborers in the Solomon Islands? Would you stop and consider what God wants you to do with the rest of your life?
You only have one life, a small amount of days set by our Creator. In eternity, only what is done for Him will matter.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday morning,
and we are meeting in our house.
The very first day, I guess, officially church planting.
Sometimes on the mountain, the sun shines so bright, God leads his children along.
We had one guy come. He made a profession of faith, and that's what it's all about, folks. I have no idea what I'm doing. Getting ready to go down into town and look for something. I don't know what it is.
The owner of the first building countered our offer, and so we countered back, and then they declined our counter.
She agreed and she said, you can go ahead.
We have the building, folks.
Are those the keys to our new church building?
There's one thing we learned today. It's not about those who don't come. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I got notification that we have received $7,000 for a vehicle.
Hey, you didn't tell me that.
It's become clear, if it's not been obvious already, that the devil doesn't want us here.
And it's a spiritual warfare that's going on.
Goodbye to my family. Oh, man, I'm going to miss them. I can't wait to have my family back already with me in the Solomon Islands. It's going to be a long 10 months.
Home now.
Well, we're on our own.
Well, here we go. Let's see what happens here, right? We're going to try to pull up the Dietrichs here. We've been partners with the Dietrichs for a number of years, and they were scheduled to be with us, of course, for our conference. And then just things happened. We're going to get an update on Nora's mom. Her mom is not doing well with cancer. It looks like it's the end. So we're going to get an update there. Hey, look there. So we're going to get an update with them. And there I go. I was in a hurry and didn't type my password correctly. So there it is. All right. I think we have. Are we set and good to go, everybody? All right. I'm getting thumbs up. And look there. Corbin's got, I can't read that exactly, Pastor Alexander. So sorry about that. There he is, or she is. I'm sorry. I really messed that up, didn't I? All right, here we go. All right, let's see what we can do. We're going to have a series of questions. And Brother Dietrich, just to make sure you can hear me okay. Oh, wait, join with computer. Okay. Are we good there? All right. I'm getting thumbs up. Brother Dietrich, can you see okay? And can you are muted, it says. Unmute. Is that right? No, don't do that. All right. This may be as close to dangerous as I'm going to get in my life doing this technology. And, you know, I thought COVID-19 might have been dangerous. Oh, no, no. That's a walk in the park. This is dangerous. All right. Very good. Well, hey, welcome tonight to Stanley Heights. So glad that you are here. Oh, hey. Hey, you want to tell us hello? Well, she's all dressed up for church, too. There we go. Okay. Well, let's see. Brother Michael, we're going to start. Could you give us an update on what's happening?
I can't hear.
You cannot hear. Okay. Let's see here.
Can you say hi? Can you say hi? Say hi. Can you say hello? Just one second. I'm going to let her go to her mommy.
Yes, that's fine. All right. All right. The guys are working diligently. Are you?
I still cannot hear.
Still can't hear.
Pastor, it says you're muted.
Can you hear me?
So, they're telling me to go ahead and give an update. So if that's right, okay, all right. Right now we are in Winchester, Virginia, where we're staying with my in-laws. I don't know if you've been updated or not, but my mother-in-law was just recently diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And the Lord has allowed us to be here with my wife. Out with my wife's family in order to care for her mom during this time. And then also in June, what brought us home originally was a new baby coming into the world. And that baby is due anytime soon. Baby can come anytime now and everything will be great. And so we're very excited about that. And the Lord has really used this time to come home for the pregnancy in order to be here for my mother-in-law when we didn't even know about her situation. And it's just been amazing to see the providence of God through all of this. But during that time, since we've been in the Solomon Islands, since we've been here, I've been doing furlough meetings, updating several of our supporting churches. But on top of that, I've still been involved with the work there in the Solomon Islands. When I left, I left Joseph Hero. Many of you know Joseph Hero. I left him with my old iPhone, and every week I record a message I upload it to Google Drive, and then I send it to him. He downloads it, and he plays it on the big screen through a projector for the church every Sunday. And so that way I've still been involved. And probably once every 2 weeks, I'll also do a FaceTime call with the church, and they'll pass my phone around, and I'm able to have that face-to-face through several thousand miles, but through technology I'm able to have a face-to-face conversation with most of them. And that's been a huge blessing. But God has, Nora and I, Joseph sent us pictures from the last Sunday, their Sunday meeting today, but that happened yesterday, which was Sunday their time. He sent me pictures, and Nora and I just praised the Lord about how the people have stuck together, even through us being gone. And it's just been really amazing to see how they've grown together as a congregation and as Christians, and they've maintained that fellowship, which is a huge blessing.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Hey, there we go. You know, we ought to start a commercial. That's a great idea, isn't it? Can you hear me now? I wonder if that would catch on.
Something, I feel like that's been made before. We might get sued for that.
Oh, well, I guess great minds. So I'll tell you what, listen, if Nora has to go to the hospital right now, you feel free to go ahead. We will continue on, church, if she has to go for baby delivery. So, and for our church family knows that these pregnancies have been very difficult for you all, and this little one seems to be going well, right?
Very amazing, yes.
Very good, very good. Pastor Ed, did I catch that right? Did you say 5:40? Okay, all right. I'm going to watch what we're doing here and make sure I give you time to preach. And in fact, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. We're going to take our time all the way to 5:40 for you. And then we're going to close out church with our praying for the Dietrichs. But I want to make sure we have time with the technology. We've had to slide here and there. Okay. Tell us about when you knew that God wanted you all in the Solomon Islands. Just tell us about that.
It was a long series of events. One of it was through medical history, when I was really thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, the last thing that I wanted to do was be in ministry. And my dad sat me down one day and he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, he said, "Have you thought about ministry?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And I said, "You know, I'd like to join the Marine Corps. Since I was a kid, I loved reading World War II history, and I was a student of World War II history, and one of my favorite areas to study was the Battle of Guadalcanal." And for those of you who do not know, Guadalcanal is part of the Solomon Islands. It's actually the island that we live on right now. But I told him, I said, "I want to join the Marines. I love the Marines. I want to join the Marines." And we started thinking about joining the Marines, but before I could join the Marines, I ended up in the hospital with a collapsed lung. And that came after a long battle with God, where I knew what I was heading towards with the Marine Corps was wrong, and it was going against what God wanted me to do. God had been working my heart about going into ministry, and I didn't want to because I was scared about being in front of people. So I ended up having a collapsed lung. After that, the Marine recruiter told me that I could not join the Marine Corps because of my lung condition. And he said, "But maybe the Army will take you." Well, before I could join the Army, my other lung collapsed. At that point, Dad sat down with me and he said, "Son, what are you thinking about? What's going on?" And I said, "Well, at this point," I said, I've never had a health problem in my life until I started running from God. And I said, "I don't want to think about the Navy or the Air Force. I don't have any more lungs." Lungs left. So that was all happened in the summer just before I graduated from high school. Actually, the summer after I graduated from high school. And I gave that summer a lot of, it was a time of spiritual renewing for me. And I was able to get my relationship with Christ restored. I ended up going to a junior camp where my brother-in-law was, at the time he was a missionary to Mexico, but he's always had a burden for mission fields without an independent Baptist missionary. And that night, the last night He gave a short mini presentation on the Solomon Islands. And because of my knowledge of World War II history and knowing the Solomon Islands, I was drawn to that field. And I started praying that God would send, that night I committed to start praying that God would send a young man, not this young man, but another young man to the Solomon Islands. The next week I was a camper myself, and I surrendered to go to Bible college. And I didn't know what God wanted me to do, but I ended up enrolling at Ambassador Baptist College and just letting God work. I didn't know what he wanted me to do, whether it was evangelism, pastor, Christian school teach. I didn't know. And first week there, I heard a message on missions, and God had been working my heart, and I knew God wanted me to be a missionary. And so I surrendered to the mission field. And just a few weeks later, we had missions conference, and I still had the Solomon Islands in the back of my mind. And I had been praying about the Solomon Islands. And we had a missions conference there at Ambassador where they invite all the mission boards in. And so I walk into this place, and I said, you know what, I'm going to pick out the biggest mission board here. And I'm going to ask them if they know about anything, what's going on in the Solomon Islands. And so I go there and I ask him, and he said, you know anything about what's going on in the Solomon Islands, if there's any type of ministry? And he looked at me with his crazy, crazy look. I know many of you know his name, but Brother Robert Meyer looked at me and he said, yes, I do know something that's going on in the Solomon Islands. Huh. And he said, here's an email of a man who would like to know about you. So I started communicating with his son, and we were able to communicate a lot. And through our communication and through communication with many other people, the Lord really directed. And I'll save a little bit of that for my sermon tonight. But the Lord really directed through a lot of the people that God brought into my life who knew, had knowledge about the Solomon Islands. I was able to make my first trip to the Solomon Islands in 2013. And during that time, God really confirmed my call. I was able to see the people and meet the people myself and see the culture. And I really knew that was the point that God, I look back now, and hindsight is 20/20. I look back now, and I knew that God had made it clear before, but I just was kind of holding that 100%. Status until I had actually been to the field.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have you just go ahead and preach to us. We're running really close here. So,
how long do we have? So I know.
Well, Pastor Ed's given me, I can't read that. He says, oh my goodness, 15? Six? Oh, we're going to six. Oh, we've got the time. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Okay. And one or two. And then we're going to let you preach. And then when you're done, we're going to have prayer for you all, particularly. Give us with Nora's mom, what can we expect? I'm not sure. And if you don't want to say, that's fine. But as we pray with you about her situation and, of course, the baby coming. But how can we pray? How do you want us to pray for Nora's wife or Nora's mom?
Well, we've been given the knowledge that it is a terminal illness, and it really is only a matter of time. So we've just been preparing for the end of life with her, and really just trying to spend as much time with her as we can, and just trying to be a comfort to her as much as possible. So, I mean, I guess as we go into the coming months, just pray for the peace of God. Comfort and pain as to be as pain-free as possible, okay, as well. And that the Lord would give all of us who are around here helping her the strength as well.
Yeah. How do we need to pray most for Pacific Light Baptist Church?
I guess right now, as we're away, just for the encouragement, for them to remain encouraged. And as they press on in the Solomon Islands, Joseph Eero is leading the church there, and he is doing a phenomenal job. And we're so thankful for him. And and just continue to pray that God would give him wisdom and as he leads the church. And then also one thing that we've been praying about for a long time is land eventually. And but right now, land in the Solomon Islands is so expensive. And if we're going to get land, it's going to be God doing it. We would be that in any circumstance. But land is just outrageously expensive. It would almost have to fall in our lap. And then also we're happy to say that we do have co-workers coming. And Lord willing, they will be with us at the beginning of January 2023, Colton and Melody Lee. He's a college friend of mine. And one of his goals when he gets to the Solomon Islands is going to be going into the outer provinces and beginning the groundwork to seeing churches planted there in the outer provinces and other areas as well. And so we're very excited about that and looking forward to seeing what God will do.
Wow, that's great. And of course, Brother Tom's going to pray for us. And Brother Tom's been there and knows Joseph and our brother there and really is very familiar with the Solomons. And thank you for that. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you the chance just to preach, share your burden with us, whatever God has laid on your heart. And then when you are done, we'll close this out. You know, we're working on this together. It's an adventure, right? So would you come on and preach to us?
Absolutely. If you could take your Bibles and look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. This will be interesting because I'm preaching to the back of the auditorium. I preach to a face view of my phone every week, so we should be good here. But I'm thankful for the opportunity. And before I really get started, I know for those of you who have been to the Solomon Islands, Joseph and Spencer are both attending Pacific Light Baptist Church. Joseph is leading the church, but Spencer has been attending. And I haven't spoke with them, but if they tell them that I'm going to be reporting to the people at Stanley Heights. But I'm sure that if they knew, they would say that for me to pass them hello, lo yufala everyone, lo Stanley Heights Baptist Church. I know they hold many of you people there dear, and they're thankful for the influence that you've had on their lives and their spiritual journey as well. Isaiah chapter 6, this is a very familiar passage to many of us in the Old Testament. And I just want to really focus on one verse. And it's a verse that has greatly impacted me in my call to ministry. And it's Isaiah's call from God to go to be a prophet to the nations. Very familiar verse, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And the very familiar words that many of us know, we've seen printed on plaques, the words of Isaiah, he says, "Then said I, here am I, send me." Before we get too much into this, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come before you today and to look at your word and a short truth from your word as well. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time together. Thank you for technology and being able to make this possible. Lord, I pray that you would help the connection to remain strong so we can continue. In Jesus' name, amen. I first really began to study this passage of Scripture when I was in college, and I had the privilege of having my oldest brother be my professor for 3 years of my Bible college time, my career there, and my oldest brother, Nathan. And he was my major prophets teacher, and he assigned us a list of topics that we could write on. We could choose one passage of Scripture within the major prophets to write an essay paper on. And I chose Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And, you know, as you look through Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, if you look at the beginning of it, it shows a very vivid picture of the throne room of heaven and God's power and God's glory and his grandeur. And then it comes to Isaiah. And after he has a clear vision of God, and he sees God's glory and his perfection and his holiness. Isaiah looks at himself and he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And comparing the picture of God or the vision of God to himself, he only sees a dirty, rotten man, an unworthy man, a man with an unclean heart, with wicked lips. But we see how God uses his position in his life where he realizes I'm nothing. I'm incapable of doing, of being anything. God looks at him and says, I have the ability to bring you to where you need to be. And we see here that God looks at, God says to him, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, if we apply that to our lives, we don't have to go far out of the doors of where we're at presently and to see a need of places that we could be sent to or places that we could go. It could be, whom shall I send to your coworker? Whom shall I send to your neighbor, to your family member, or even to the mission field? When it comes to missions, I believe that many more people, many, especially young people, are being called than are really surrendering. That's why I want to focus on what Isaiah said. He said, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I would venture to say that there are many young people who are hearing that voice, whom shall I send and who will go for us, to a certain mission field, to a certain ministry that they would have, that they have the unique personality and skill set that God has been preparing them for to go. And yet they, maybe for fear, they're not going. But we see here that Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Now, I mentioned, a pastor asked me to give a little bit of how God led me to the Solomon Islands. When Dad sat me down in that conversation, he asked me what I wanted to do with my life. I told him, I said, Dad, ministry is the last thing that I can do. I said, when I get up in front of people, I shake. Twice during Patch the Pirate Club at our church, I fainted right out on the floor because I was so scared of being in front of people. And I let that hang in the back of my mind and just really focus, be a roadblock in doing what I knew God wanted me to do. Well, then when it came time for me to start making decisions, I thought, It was not wise, but I thought, hey, the Marine Corps, if I sign up to the Marine Corps, I am the Marine Corps' property. And I can use the Marine Corps to run away from God, and God can't have me for 6 years or however long I signed up. Now, that is a very, very dangerous thing to say to God or to commit to yourself. Because nothing is past God, absolutely. And so during that time, God ended up, I told my dad there was a long battle between God and I. And I would lay awake night after night just wrestling with the knowledge that I knew God wanted me to go to ministry. And I didn't want to go. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I was fighting God. I was fighting God. Well, finally, the night before my lung collapsed, I said out loud, I said, God, I'm going to the Marine Corps, whether you like it or not. I was laying in my bed late at night, and I said, this is going to happen. And the next morning, I woke up, and I said, told my dad, I said, I'm ready to join the Marine Corps. And he said, well, you've got snow on the ground. That's your job. You need to go clear it off. We'll talk about that later. He said, maybe we can go next week and sign the papers. Well, it was still snowing, so I ended up scooping snow for over 30 minutes. I mean, 30 hours, just to keep everything clear, all of our contracts cleared, and our customers cleared so that they could go about their business. And on our last job site, I started to feel a slight tug in my chest. And I looked at my cousin, and I said, I think my lung is collapsing. And I said, my chest is really hurting. And he looked at me, and he said, I think your lung is collapsing. And we went on for about 5 more minutes, and then it felt like the inside of my chest just shrunk. And I fell to the ground in pain. They took me to the hospital. They found out that I had a collapsed lung. And God really used that in my life to redirect my thinking and show me that it was, in a sense, my Jonah story. But I'm not preaching about Jonah. I'm preaching about Isaiah. What did Isaiah do? Did he, in this passage, we don't see where Isaiah fought God and where he argued with God night after night after night about what God wanted him to do. And we need to know that Isaiah's message that Isaiah was to give to the people of Israel was not a pleasant message, where we as New Testament Christians, we have an amazing message to give to people. Isaiah was given a message of impending doom, of judgment, because people have turned their back on God. But we have the message of mercy and grace that God, that Jesus Christ has died for them and has cleansed their, has paid the penalty for their sins on the cross. He died, he buried, he rose again on the third day so that we could have victory over sin and over death. That's the message that we as New Testament Christians have to give to people. But here, Isaiah has, what does Isaiah do? He doesn't fight. He doesn't argue. He hears God say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And he says, "Here am I. Send me." And that was what I really focused on in this passage, was those words, "Here am I. Send me." Was I, as I finished up this paper and I was really focused on what Isaiah was saying, I got an email from Brother Meyer. Many of you know him. And he told me about everything that was going on in the Solomon Islands. And he said, "We really need a young man to go." And I looked at his email and I looked at my paper and I looked at his email, and the Holy Spirit at that time in the library where I was writing the paper, the Holy Spirit really began to work on my heart. And I knew right there, I need to say, "Here am I, send me." When you look at those words, "Here am I, send me," you know, it's words of abandonment. It's words of throwing away any selfish desires that you may have and say, "God, here I am. Everything that I have, every desire, every passion that I have, it is now put on second place to what you want me to do." And God really used that passage of Scripture to direct my thinking towards the Solomon Islands. And, you know, at that time that I made the commitment, it was amazing how God really just opened the floodgates of direction and started to show me what he wanted to do. And though I had had a time of struggle and of arguing and of fighting God, once I came to the point of volunteering and saying, "God, here I am," God's direction was very, very clear. So if you're a young person here today, or even if you're a middle-aged or older person and you're struggling with what God wants you to do, don't fight, don't argue, but surrender. Volunteer for what God wants you to do, and I think you would be amazed at the direction that God gives you. Pastor?
Amen. Amen. Wow. Boy, thank you so very much. I'll tell you what, Brother Dietrich, we have good time. I'm going to have Brother Tom Hill come on, and I'm going to have him pray over you in just a minute. And church family, Brother Dietrich has really challenged us about how we respond to God. And I wonder if God is dealing with you. Are you fighting with God? Arguing why, whatever your argument is. I've heard Dr. Frazier say this many times, that whenever you let God win an argument, you always win. And if you'll let God win the argument in your life, you always win. Sometimes the convicting of the Holy Spirit, or the work of the Holy Spirit, is a convicting work. Sometimes it's a confirming work. Sometimes it's a consecrating work. But it is always a good work. And tonight, church, while we're here, let's take these moments, and it may be that God is dealing with you and it's time for you to stop fighting. Say, "Here am I, send me." It may be that God is confirming. "Yes, God, you're dealing with these areas of my life. This is what you want." And he is making it so clear. Tonight is a wonderful night for you. I'm going to have Brother Hill come and lead us in prayer. And I'm going to ask for U Church as well. Would you stand with us? And Brother Hill is going to come lead us in prayer. I'm going to try to keep this up, Brother Dietrich, so Brother Tom, you can see him when he's praying for you here. And then we'll sign off, and we'll sign off Brother Dietrich, and then we'll close out our service here. And so, Brother Tom, would you pray, please, sir?
Let's pray. Father, what a thrill it is to see what you're doing. In the Solomons, Lord. Through the ministry of Michael and Nora and their family, we just thank you for the call on their life that you have given them. And even as Michael has spoke to us tonight, and just the things you used in his life to confirm that call, Lord. Maybe you're doing that for people in our congregation. And we would pray that you would just help us to submit ourselves wholly unto you and your will for our lives. We talked this morning about making your will our will. And how we pray that for each of us. And we thank you for what a wonderful thing you're doing there in the Solomons. And we do pray for Nora's mother. And you know the health needs that she is experiencing in these days. And Lord, we do pray for grace and the peace of God for her and comfort. And as minimal pain as she can experience with this illness. And Lord, it is not beyond your power to heal her. And we would pray for that if that's your will. And we would also pray for just strength for the family. And thank you for how in your providence you've worked this out for Nora to be here to just be a real help to her mom during these days. We do pray for Nora's pregnancy, and as Michael said, that could come at any time. We thank you that the pregnancy is progressing well, and you protected both the health of Nora and the baby. And we just ask for a safe delivery for this little one. We do thank you for Pacific Light Baptist Church and the light that is going forth there. We thank you that you're keeping the members there together, and Michael asked us to pray for them to remain encouraged, and we do pray for that. We do pray for Joseph, as many of us know him, that have been privileged to go there on the Bible distribution project. He's worked, both him and Spencer that Michael mentioned, they've worked hand in hand with a lot of our men that have gone on those trips. And, these two men, I know, they have a heart to reach their own people. And, we just ask that you'd, just continue to use Joseph in Michael's absence as he leads the church there. You grant him wisdom, and we thank you for the co-laborers that you're sending, Lord, and just the potential for future ministry there in the Solomons, reaching even into the outer provinces, Lord, some of the most remote places on our planet. People still need to be reached, and we just thank you for what you're doing. Again, thank you for challenging us tonight, and we just pray for your continued blessings on the Dietrich family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Dietrich. Your best to our family. And we're going to sign off from you, and Brother Corey's going to come on and lead us in a closing song. Church, blessings to you this week. I hope you're praying about your faith promise, how God wants us to grow by grace through faith. And looking forward to all that God has in for each of us in the mission field to which he's sending us this week. All right. Brother Corey, would you please lead us in a song?
We're going to sing this a little bit slower, and I'll give us two beats for y'all. for this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all, for the cause of Christ, all I once held dear, I will leave behind, for my joy is this, for the cause.